Hi, you're listening to Go See a Show, the Off-Off-Broadway podcast. Only this time around, we're not strictly talking Off-Off-Broadway. We're talking with some folks who are putting together a production of a classic Sondheim musical just because they wanted to do it. And they're raising money for a great charity in the process. Take a listen.
To start, if you'd both say your names, just so I have it on the microphone, that'd be great.
Hi, I'm Kevin Horn.
We're going to start with you, Kevin.
All right, Kevin Horn, H-O-R-N-E. So don't forget the silent E.
Silent.
And yeah. Kevin is directing Into the Woods.
Yes, I am.
And playing.
Oh, yes, I'm also playing The Wolf.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, traditionally, in quotes, traditionally, The Wolf and Cinderella's Prince are played by the same actor, but we wanted to involve more people than just, than the original, quote-unquote, way of doing it. So I'm playing The Wolf, and we have another actor playing Cinderella's Prince.
Sounds good. And
I am Joshua David Bishop, and I'm playing Jack of Beanstalk fame.
So, of course, the show from that, you can probably deduce, is Into the Woods. And now, I wanted you guys to tell me a little bit about the show, because, or actually this production of the show, because all I know about it is that you're doing this for charity. You all just kind of came together mostly out of a catering company, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When this idea was just a baby idea, the germ of an idea, we started doing what I call the Star Wars casting, which is like if you and your group of friends are just sitting around and casting Star Wars with just people you know, obviously whoever's, for instance, big and fat is going to be Jabba the Hutt, whoever's just totally evil is going to be Darth Vader, whoever's like, you know, the dashing Lothario, if that's a way to put it, is Han Solo, you know, so... And if you've never seen these movies, I'm sorry that this has, you know, no meaning for you whatsoever.
Everyone's seen Star Wars. If you're listening to my podcast and you've not seen Star Wars, just stop listening and go watch Star Wars now.
Huh, that's good to know.
And then come back and listen.
Yes, exactly.
And then finish this interview. Right. Yes, of course.
But in that same way, we started doing the Star Wars casting with our friends, and we realized that it was all people who work for Great Performances, which is one of New York City's largest catering companies. And we all work there as a day job because we're all actors or dancers or singers or something in the creative field.
But we should say at this point that you were doing Star Wars casting for Into the Woods.
For Into the Woods, specifically, right. Yeah. Then when we thought, okay, great, we have a cast. How do we put this on? How do we possibly do something of this magnitude in New York City, because it costs just a lot of money. We thought, well, we'll do something for charity, because people like to give money for charity. It'd be nice to be able to give back in doing something that is really, I guess at the end of the day, it's kind of a selfish kind of thing, because we just want to perform the roles. But then, you know, okay, well, how do you turn, you know, self-interest into something that'll benefit more than just to yourself.
It's great that you went that next logical step as opposed to just saying, well, how do we do this great thing for ourselves?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Well, yeah, well, that was the thing. We're all, you know, civic-minded individuals. And so we thought, well, which charity would we raise money for? Would it be the Red Cross or the Actors Fund or, you know, who? Or Broadway Cares? Well, what do we do? And then we thought, well, if all the cast is within Great Performances, why don't we have the charity be within Great Performances as well? Because GP, as it happens, has a 501c3, a nonprofit called the Sylvia Center, which gives food education to disadvantaged youth in New York City. So they have a teaching kitchen at the offices of Great Performances, right next to the big production kitchen where, you know, professional chefs are pumping out, you know, untold amounts of food on a daily basis. They have a small teaching kitchen, which, you know, kids will go and they'll make their own food and, you know, learn how to prep it. And there's also an organic farm upstate called Kashke Farm. It's in Kinderhook, New York. And the Sylvia Center will run programs out of that farm, too. So some of the kids will be bussed up to Kinderhook and, you know, they'll do a whole farm-the-table thing, literally. They'll help tend the farm. They'll pull vegetables out of the ground. They'll be taught how to clean them, how to prepare them, and then they'll sit down and eat them. So, you know, a lot of these kids have never, some of them can't identify cauliflower, really, because they've never, the world's kind of that small. They never really left the neighborhood that they're born in, and because of their circumstances, you know, they don't have a lot of access to the food knowledge, or sometimes even just the food itself. You know, it's a lot of fast food, a lot of, you know, I presume, anyway. You know, I don't, I haven't gone reading anybody's cabinets to see exactly what they're eating. But off of what I've been told from the people who work at the Sylvia Center is that, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to educate kids about how to eat properly, so that they can combat childhood obesity and make sure that there's proper nutrition levels maintained, and it's really an eye-opening experience for the kids.
It sounds like a really excellent charity to work with, especially coming from this food catering company, which I guess makes sense. That's why it's the not-for-profit that's affiliated with the company. So you've got a group of actors. You've done your Star Wars casting. You then go and ask all these folks, do you want to do a show for charity?
And for free, really, because nobody's getting paid. This would be a, I think, of 23 people in the cast, I think 20 are actually equity members. So it would be, there's a special contract waiver, I'm forgetting the name at this particular point in time, which equity allows for equity people to do benefit performances for us. So everybody knew from the very get-go that, the commitment's pretty large, because you have to, there's just a lot of material to go over.
Big show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a big show, and there's only two performances, so it isn't as though, sometimes when people do shows for free, the payment, if you will, is that they get to be seen, multiple times, perhaps. But this would be a maximum of twice, but still, everyone was really, really on board with it. Everyone wanted to do it. Everyone's been extremely excited about it. There are some people that were approached, 10 months ago, who made a commitment then and have carried it through to now. It just began 2012, so and now at the end of the month, end of January is when we're going up. So people finally get their feet wet and actually do this thing.
So I'm assuming this is low or no budget, and so how do you rehearse this? Are you guys singing around the kitchen or around your catering gigs to rehearse? How does this work?
We have the advantage, the luxury, actually, of it being a show that that it's kind of on everybody's bucket list. Everybody has a role that they really want to play, which is helpful. And it's 25 years old or thereabouts, which means that that the show has been able to kind of seep into their DNA after a while. Really, I know that when I was in college, I think I burnt the tape out. Yes, I'm that old. I'm sorry. I had a tape in my car. Or maybe I just had the world's worst Ford Granada. Yes, I did. So the advantage of that is that people really know the show pretty well. And many of the people have actually played the roles that they're playing before, too. So that enables us to truncate rehearsal time. And also, because we all do catering as a side job, it's seasonal. And January is right after the holiday season, so it tends to be pretty dead. So people have a lot of time. So we purposely schedule the performances that way so that people would have a block of time to be able to dedicate to the show.
Speaking of dream performances, Jack is quite a coveted role, I understand. I've only seen the show once, and it's fuzzy in my memory. I don't remember why.
Was it a professional production?
It was semi-professional. It was a regional show. I helped paint it, I think, and then I saw it, but I think I was really tired when I saw it. Anyway, Jack.
Jack. Is probably my dream role, so... And I gotta play him before I get too old, So, when I first started hearing about that, it was just like this sort of idea, like, maybe we'll put on a show ourselves, And then you're like, no, I was just kidding. And we're like, no, you told us. Now you gotta do it. You said I could be Jack and Into the Woods, so now you gotta make it happen, and can't change your mind. And that was like last summer, I think, when we first started talking about the idea about it. It's true. Everyone that I tell, that I'm like, I'm hopefully doing Into the Woods, hopefully being Jack, everyone's like, oh my God, Giants in the Sky, what a great song, what a great role. And I'm like, I know, I don't want to mess it up. So, I got myself back into voice lessons, and I'm like, trying to sort of hone my craft as much as possible so that I do the show justice. It's just one of my favorites, and we've had one music rehearsal so far, and most of the main sort of group we were together in the mornings. And yeah, most of us already know it, so we were able to sort of sing through all of Act One, and it was magical, you know, just seeing and hearing people that I've been working with for years. I've been with the company for over 7 years. Mm. I don't know how long you've been with the company.
Too long to tell.
Wait, that's a secret. But I've been with them for about 7 years, you know, and I've known some of these people that long. And some of them I have never heard sing before or seen them act, you know. And not only is it cool just to see them sing or hear them sing or harmonize with each other, you know, but to do it with such amazing music, too.
Right.
And just, you know, adding the musical element to the rehearsals just brought, I mean, I was ecstatic. It was a really good day for me, you know. I was like, oh my God, this better happen, you know, because it's just so beautiful. And then also, not only watching, you know, your fellow workers do what they're really good at, but watching other people watch it and discovering that too. You know, I just remember one of, is it David who plays the mysterious man, sort of catching him out of the corner of my eye, watching us do a scene and being in awe. You know what I mean? And that made me in awe as well, you know, of just seeing other people react the way I am, you know, to this idea of us doing what we love together, you know, and we already have this amazing connection, the chemistry between the characters is amazing. If I do say so myself, Rita, who plays my mother, and I think are quite a pair, and it's because we're so comfortable with each other already. We have more of a sibling relationship, I would say, in real life, just, you know, because we work together and get along so well. But to sort of be able to use that connection, you know, in this way, I mean, really the whole cast is already a family, you know, which is something that sometimes grows during rehearsals, but we are already there, you mm-hmm. know, so there's that much more, I think, powerful and magical. And also, it's just, I mean, the casting is really impeccable.
Yeah.
Really, a really amazing cast, and everyone is so perfect. And that's what I think was also cool, is to hear about the idea and be like, oh, yes, he would be great as a baker. Yes, I want to see her be the baker's wife, you know. And then actually see them do a scene and then hear them sing it, you know. It's just been, you know, the little bit that we've seen so far, it's been really, really amazing.
That's great.
It's the journey that we're taking. So,
now, Go See a Show is actually the Off-Off Broadway podcast, but this isn't technically Off-Off Broadway, correct? Where will this be done? And
this will be done at the CSV Center. Not a lot of people know about it. I think that they're actually trying to raise the profile a lot. It's the Clemente Soto Velez Center. I know, it's a mouthful, I know. It's it's down the Lower East Side. It's 2 blocks away from the Delancey-Essex stop, and it's this huge 6,000-square-foot theater, which is perfect for what we're doing, because
I bet we've all walked by this before and just had no clue.
Well, when the first time I went through there, it was hidden underneath scaffolding and everything. It looks like the place that you'd walk by to get to the bar that you wanted to go to. But it's this big community center. They have galleries inside. It's really nice. When I went in there, there was a gallery opening that night, and there was a lot of people in there who were, you know, paying attention to the art, and, you know, it was really it's a really great space.
How is the theater usually used?
For anything at all. I mean, right before we go in there, there's a Peruvian dance troupe that's performing in the space. And the space is very, very large. I don't think a lot of people necessarily use the full space, because they're only limited to, I think the fire code says something like 75 people, unless you get a temporary certificate of assembly, which we will get, in which case that number can go up to as many as 250. But that, you know, requires doing seating in a slightly different manner, and which is what we're doing, because we're doing it essentially in the round. It's not really in the round. It's more like runway style, where two audience banks are facing each other with a stage in the middle, and then at the opposite ends of each stage are playing areas as well.
Nice.
Kind of like a runway would be if it was a fashion show, except the runway itself is much, much wider. But that allows us to give everybody the best seat in the house, really, because no matter where you are. And personally, I it's just my, I hate the proscenium. It's just, you know, just making everybody kind of, it makes people go flat. I mean, for a lot of shows, it can work, and sometimes, you know, the theater that you're in, that's what you got. But I like being able to break things up so that people can, you know, can behave really a lot more like they would in real life. Or if there's something that's a secret between two characters, they can, you know, go off to the side as you would and actually tell the secret. And you're literally right by audience members who are hearing you whisper. Of course, everyone gets to hear the whisper as well, but you know, you can, the actors can behave more like they would in real life, and I think that that allows the audience to really, really pay attention to the stories, especially in this show, because it's so story centric.
Right.
I mean, it's literally about stories, if you want to go that meta about it. But
Do.
Yes, and we do, exactly. But I think that that when the audience forgets that there's people acting on stage and only pays attention to the story, that's where true magic occurs. I'm sure everybody has left the theater thinking to themselves at some point, movie theater, actual theater, it doesn't really matter, thinking, wow, that actor was on fire, that actor was amazing, that actor was, did you see what that actor did? That actor was great. There's a big difference between that and saying something like, oh my God, that poor man and his daughter. One, you saw the acting, the other one, you only paid attention to the story and you were affected. And so it's that latter phenomenon they want to pull out of the actors and to give the audience. And we're going to do it. And that type of staging will, I think, only helps.
And you're doing it to help kids,
mm-hmm.
and that's really, really special.
Mm-hmm.
The where I was going when I said that this is not a technically an off-Broadway show,
mm-hmm.
is that one of the things that I've noticed as a theme and that I love about off-Broadway theater is that it's oftentimes people getting together and saying, I want to do this. You want to do this? Yeah, I want to do that too. Oh, cool. Okay, well then let's do it. And so then everyone does it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting. What kind of advice would you have to folks who want to do the same thing?
I would say just pure willpower will get you a significant amount of the way. And I think I guess the companion piece of that is really, really believing in what you're doing. And that sounds really, really trite, but I guess on a technical level, people can kind of sniff out BS. They can sniff out when, well, if a totally new idea is presented to them, and maybe they want to do it, but then they have to ask themselves, well, can I trust what's going on? How much of my own self do I put into this? How much of my resources do I marshal to this particular project? I think that that the more credibility you can give everybody, the better off that you are. And so believing in the project, that doesn't mean just pure faith in yourself, although that's fantastic, but also having done the research and the homework to know exactly where you stand and what you need and what you have and what you don't need exactly what the commitment of other people that you're talking to is going to be, that will give you the confidence to be able to express that type of belief. And then even if you're missing, you know, this or that, or we don't have a space yet, or we need, you know, a musical director, or whatever your needs are, people, I think, will be willing to jump on board with your idea and help you attain that thing. And once they start helping you attain it, that becomes theirs too. So then you have two people who are working toward the same goal. And then the more people who jump on board, then I guess the more powerful that group becomes.
Yes.
I just looked at Joshua. Anything to ask?
Clearly. No, it's totally true. We also had to start a Kickstarter campaign to help us raise the funds needed to sort of cover the production costs.
Excellent segue.
Thank you.
Well done. Score yourself 5 bonus points. That was good.
And it's been, you know... just, you know, it's spreading it word of mouth on Facebook, email me and stuff, and being able to see your friends and your family like it, you know, when you repost it or say something about it. You know, my cousin was just like, please help my cousin get his Christmas wish. All he wants for Christmas is to do this show and give the money to the kids, you know, whatever. And, you know, it's just really sweet of her to post that and spread the word, you know. And so, yeah, it starts with that belief. It starts with that sort of faith in what you're doing and knowing that it's a really unique thing that we're doing, you know, a catering company doing a show and then giving the money to kids, you know, like...
And there's actually an extra wrinkle to that because way back in 1979, Great Performances was started as a temp agency for waiters, for specifically women in the arts. It was because at the time, catering as we might know it now didn't even exist, really. I mean, you'd be doing something at someone's house, but there wasn't like a big event anywhere. That didn't really exist as an industry yet. And it was almost exclusively dominated by men. You had waiters, you know, not waitresses too, or waiters in the more, you know, gender neutral sense. And Liz Newmark started the company to give women in the arts a day job, really. And it very, very quickly integrated and obviously expanded, and you know, now it's one of New York City's biggest catering companies. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to work on the bumper sticker phrase. something like here. Let me take another stab at it. We like it that a company that was designed to help actors in the arts allows us, the actors in the arts, to give back to our community through, as it just so happens, a charity this one same company has also started. So it's kind of,
and by doing your art form, it's
exactly. Right. So the bumper sticker phrase needs work. Hopefully you get the
general I've seen idea. Some really long bumper stickers.
You just need a really big car.
Exactly.
Well, this is super cool. So how do people support the projects?
Well, if you go to Kickstarter.com, and KickStarter.com, Kickstarter, like, you know, the Kickstarter on a motorcycle, and then just look up Into the Woods, and it says once that page of four or five different productions of Into the Woods that are raising money for themselves all over the country, once that page comes up, then it says Into the Woods GP Cast. Another way to find us is go to facebook.com/GP Into the Woods, and that's our page on Facebook, and then there's a link to it from there. That might be a little bit easier for people to remember. But on the Kickstarter page, there's a button to click to donate. It would take as little as a dollar or as much as people want to give. If there's millionaires in the audience who want to just, you know, throw the money around for a good cause. And the great thing about Kickstarter is that all the donations go through Amazon.com, so everybody's information is totally protected, and it's not just giving money to some random shady site. And also, if we don't make the our funding goals by the deadline, nobody's charged. So it's, you know, no harm, no foul.
But we want you to reach your fundraising goals.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you get your money.
Yeah, of course.
So everyone go out, give a buck.
That's right.
Help out.
And do it soon.
Yes, the deadline is January 4th?
3rd. Yeah, 4th. 12:01 p.m.
Great.
We have $3,800 to go, so, or thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah,
and that's, it's on the way to 10,000. So we've had, I think we've quadrupled our take, if you will, in the last week.
Wow.
And even over the holidays, when people are, you know, they have a lot of competition for their time and attention and resources and everything. There's Christmas gifts to buy and plane tickets to be bought. But people have still been extremely generous.
Yeah, very nice.
It's been very great.
So I hope some folks will be able to donate, even if it's just a show of support by giving a dollar. It'd be really, really cool to help out some the hidden great performers at Great Performances get out and showcase their talents for good. So thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for doing this.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks to Kevin and Joshua for taking the time to do an interview with me on New Year's Day, even. And a big round of applause for all the folks involved with this production of Into the Woods. If you've got a buck or 20 or whatnot to spare, consider donating to the project via their Kickstarter campaign. You can visit them on Facebook at facebook.com/GP Into the Woods for a link to the page. The deadline is Wednesday, January 4th at noon, which is just a day from when this podcast hits the interwebs, so please check it out today. And thanks for listening to Go See a Show. If you're not yet subscribed, please do so via iTunes or RSS, and send any questions, comments, suggestions, what have you, to me at Robbie, R-O-B-B-Y, at goseeashowpodcast.com. It's a big off-Broadway world, so please let me know what you're up to. And until next time, go see a show.
Thanks, gents. Very nice. Yeah, well, hopefully people will listen.